This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the February-March issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have an assortment of reviews from a number of subject areas ranging from science fiction, fantasy, to audio theater, to classics and drama. You'll hear reviews of such earphones-winning titles as The Dispatcher by John Scalzi, read by Zachary Quinto, Mockingbird by Walter Tevis, read by Robert Foss and Nicole Poole, and Don Juan by Lord Byron, read by Jonathan Keeble. And I have an interview with author N.K. Jemisin and a review of her latest, The Obelisk Gate, Broken Earth, Book 2. It's an earphones winner, read by Robin Miles. Let's get right to it. We jump right into science fiction fantasy with an earphones winner. An Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. In the print version of the magazine, many of our reviews display a QR code, which, when you scan it with your smartphone, will play a sound sample of the book. I'll let you know when a review has a QR code, and if you don't have a smartphone, you can still hear sound samples of most titles at www.audiophilemagazine.com. Our first review today in sci-fi, fantasy, and audio theater is Mockingbird by Walter Tevis. It's an earphones winner, read by Robert Foss and Nicole Poole. Tevis offers a new twist on the post-apocalyptic theme. Narrators Robert Foss and Nicole Poole portray the last viable humans on an Earth overcome by well-meaning robots. As narrators, they keep the listener guessing throughout. Foss embodies his character with a will to survive that far surpasses that of the rest of the drug-addled humans, yet he speaks with a kindness and dignity none of the others share. When he speaks Spofforth, as Spofforth, the robot overlord, his voice has a light, slight mechanical sound that gives additional credibility to the story. Poole beautifully portrays Mary Lou, the last mother on a dying Earth. This audiobook, a stunning example of science fiction, is perfectly performed. Michael San Giacomo wrote that review of Mockingbird by Walter Tevis. It's an earphones winner, read by Robert Foss and Nicole Poole, and it's available from Tantor Media for 9.75 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Our second review today is Daredevil, Man Without Fear. It's by Paul Crilly, read by Richard Rohan, and a full cast. Audio is the perfect format for this story of a blind superhero who uses his super hearing to fight crime. Graphic audio delivers on maximizing the aural landscape to make this narrative a fantastic experience. Exploring the origin of Daredevil, this production introduces listeners to the young Matt Murdock and follows his exploits from the adventuresome youth to the tortured adult seeking justice in Hell's Kitchen, New York. As usual, Richard Rohan delivers the prose in a deep and projective voice that enlivens the action scenes. The sound effects make listeners feel as if they're side by side with Daredevil. Lance Eaton wrote that review of Daredevil, Man Without Fear by Paul Crilly. It's read by Richard Rohan in a full cast, and it's available from Graphic Audio for 7 hours as an audio program. Next, we have The Invisible Library, Book 1. It's by Genevieve Cogman, read by Susan Dearden. There's an appropriately feisty quality to the narrator, Susan Dearden's voice, in this first book of Cogman's fantasy series. Members of a mysterious organization called the Library travel through time and space, locating important works of literature that require careful preservation. Irene, a library spy, and her rookie assistant Kai are on a mission to an alternate London to locate a notoriously dangerous book, but when they arrive, they discover it's been stolen. Jordan skillfully manipulates the voices of the werewolves, vampires, monsters, and fairies that inhabit this magical reality. She captures the humor, the silliness, and the danger as Irene and Kai find themselves up to their eyeballs in a rip-roaring literate adventure. Listeners will eagerly await the second book in this smart, witty series. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of The Invisible Library, The Invisible Library Book 1 by Genevieve Cogman, read by Susan Dearden. It's available from Audible, Inc., for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Borderline, The Arcadia Project, Book 1, by Michelle Baker, read by Arden Hammersmith. At the center of this production is a character, Millie, who is all manner of screwed up. Narrator Arden Hammersmith ably captures Millie's many moods. A fledgling film director with borderline personality disorder, Millie attempted suicide after a failed affair. The attempt has left her with two prosthetic legs and a few prospects until she's hired by the mysterious Arcadia Project, which is responsible for policing an accord between this world and the dimension of the Fae. Hammersmith skillfully uses her versatile voice to portray Millie's co-workers, mental cases, all. Notable characters include a little Southern woman, a taciturn black man, and an angry Latino whom Millie is drawn to. They must pool their talents to locate a missing Fae who really doesn't want to be found. Through Hammersmith's narration, Millie ultimately develops into an engaging character who heralds a fascinating new season. Dale E. McGarrigle wrote that review of Borderline, The Arcadia Project, Book 1 by Michelle Baker, read by Arden Hammersmith. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 11 hours, unabridged. Next, we have The Dispatcher by John Scalzi, read by Zachary Quinto. It's an earphones winner. The hero of this book is narrator Zachary Quinto, who makes a potentially confusing story simple and compelling. With a voice that sounds trained, he reaches right through the speakers and grabs listeners, making them need to listen. It's hard to talk about the audiobook without giving up a massive plot twist that occurs early on. Suffice it to say that our hero, Tony Valdez, is a dispatcher, a man whose job is to kill people moments before their natural death. But draw no conclusions about his job. Nothing is what it seems. Bringing the same intensity he brought to his roles in Heroes and Star Trek as Spock, Quinto makes this very short work powerful. Michael San Giacomo wrote that review of The Dispatcher by John Scalzi. It's an earphones winner, read by Zachary Quinto, available from Audible, Inc. for 2.25 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Next, we have Omari and the People by Stephen Whitfield. It's an earphones winner, read by Kurt Simmons. Like Robin Hood, the phantom thief, Omari, robs from the wealthy and gives to the poor. But he's changed when flames engulf his city on the Sea of Providence, somewhere in Arabia. Kurt Simmons has a great baritone voice with a charming timbre. He adds a subtle Middle Eastern accent to his narration of this atmospheric action adventure. Besides Omari, the magical tale is peopled by many strong, complex women, including enigmatic Umal, a decrepit and crazed old woman of the streets, and independent Saba, as well as other well-developed characters who are part of a caravan on a journey of healing and forgiveness. Simmons's multi-layered presentation adds to the character's development, and his storytelling skills are reminiscent of a kindly grandfather's. This is a story of the hero's journey, and Simmons's soothing professional narration adds to its sense of grandeur. Susan C. Aull wrote that review of Omari and the People. It's by Stephen Whitfield, an Earphones winner from Kurt Simmons. It's available from Shirley Castle Press for 11.25 hours unabridged. Okay, we are continuing in our reviews in science fiction, fantasy, audio theater, classics, and drama. And our next review is The Short Reign of Pippin the Fourth, a fabrication by John Steinbeck. It's written with an introduction by Robert E. Moorsberger and another introduction from Catherine Moorsberger, but it's an Earphones winner read by Jefferson Mays. Pippin Heristal is peacefully enjoying life as an amateur astronomer when the French government suddenly decides it needs a king, and Pippin is the rightful heir to the throne. Narrator Jefferson Mays perfectly captures the dry wit of Steinbeck's political satire. Mays relays Pippin's stoicism as he dutifully accepts his role. Mays also portrays every character perfectly, from Pippin's wife, Queen Marie, to his wayward daughter, Clotilde. As Pippin encounters his subjects from aristocrat to peasant, Mays' crisp, fast-paced speech and American accent accentuate the story's humor. His perfect pronunciation of the few untranslated French words will be appreciated by French-speaking listeners. A delightful listen, especially appropriate for this turbulent election year. Michelle M. Goggins wrote that review of The Short Reign of Pippin the Fourth, a fabrication. It's written by John Steinbeck, and it offers introductions by Robert and Catherine Moorsbergers, but it's an Earphones winner read from Jefferson Mays. It's available from Penguin Audio for 4.5 hours of unabridged listening. And this is just a reminder that you are listening to the February-March issue of Audiophile magazine. It's the magazine that helps you to discover the world of audiobooks. Okay, our next review is Don Juan by Lord Byron. It's an Earphones winner read by Jonathan Keeble. Byron never managed to finish this epic, but Jonathan Keeble narrates right up to the end of what he did get done. This may be the only classic poem that rhymes Euxine, a classical name for the Black Sea, with pukes in, but Keeble keeps up with the shifting moods and tones, which range from expressions of pure romantic love to snarky commentary on British politics and poetic politics of the 1820s. Keeble doesn't overstress the rhyme or meter of Bryan's eight-line stanzas and goes over the top with emotions only when the text calls for it. This is, after all, mostly a comedic story, and although the jokes are almost two centuries old, Keeble keeps them fresh. David M. Harris wrote that review of Don Juan by Lord Byron. It's an Earphones winner read by Jonathan Keeble, and it's available from Naxos Audiobooks for 15.25 hours of unabridged listening, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Next, we have American Buffalo by David Mamet. It's read by Josh Stamberg, Morris Williams, and Rich Hutchman, and it's an Earphones winner. In this 1975 Obie-winning gem by one of America's most influential writers, actors Rich Hutchman, Mad Men, and Josh Stamberg, Parenthood, and newcomer Morris Williams own the stage as a comic tragic trio of criminal mastermind wannabes intent on stealing a rare buffalo nickel. Hutchman and Stanberg especially revel in finding everyday poetry in the quick and rhythmic dialogue of Chicago's South Side. This short play is no simple breezy comedy, as the actors dig deep to bring out the vulnerability, confusion, and hurt in their working class characters. Kudos to LA Theater Works for this delightful 2015 production and for once again demonstrating that the contemporary stage is perfect for audiobook listening. Our next review is Boy by Anna Ziegler. It's read by Sarah Drew and a full cast. This full cast production creates a compelling audio experience exploring gender identity and sexuality. When an accident mutilates one of a pair of twin baby boys, his parents consult a doctor who convinces them to raise their son as a daughter. Bobby Steggert gives the standout performance in the role of the titular boy as both a child trying to understand life and an adult trying to make a life. Sarah Drew, John Getz, Travis Johns, and Amy Peets splendidly fill out the rest of the cast of the LA Theater Works production directed by Debbie Devine. Listening to this production based on a real-life event will take listeners on an unforgettable emotional journey with this family and their boy. Andrew G. McKinley wrote this review of Boy by Anna Ziegler, read by Sarah Drew and a full cast, available from LA Theater Works for 1.5 hours as an audio program. Now we'll take a little break from our reviews and we will have an author interview with N.K. Jemisin. Hugo Award-winning novelist N.K. Jemisin goes to great lengths to get it right in her speculative fiction stories in which she explores a wide variety of earthbound subjects. She achieves her universe building with finely drawn descriptions and fast-paced action. I'm not doing anything different from what's common in science fiction and fantasy. To make a story feel real, you have to have a certain amount of detail. Fans of her audiobooks will find the same attention and craft in the recording of her latest book, The Obelisk Gate. I really think Robin Miles brings skills and professionalism to the production, she says. Miles has narrated the first two books in Jemisin's Broken Earth series, The Fifth Season and The Obelisk Gate. Jemisin says Miles once again contacted her before the recording sessions with a list of words and phrases she wanted to get right. She's called me each time and has gone through the book line by line. She asked me about some of the made-up words and the names of characters and the places to make sure she was getting them right. Jemisin says Miles creates a phonetic spreadsheet on which she carefully labels how many syllables a word has and exactly how the words are pronounced. That's the level of precision she brings to her work, says Jemisin. It's really fascinating. Doing the research for her novels can help Jemisin gather those details, but she makes a point to keep the stories from getting bogged down with too much information. She limits her time doing research to 3 months. She recently traveled to Hawaii to learn about volcanoes, information used in the Broken Earth series. You need to learn just enough to know what you're talking about, and then you can fill in the gaps between fiction and reality. She found that Hawaii is built on ancient volcanic eruptions, and she let the tension of living in constant awareness of new eruptions enter her narrative. She found the same tension is reflected in Miles's delivery. Jemisin says she picked up a fatalistic tone from the people who live there that she was able to incorporate into the story. Because I was in a society of people who had lived with volcanoes and the potential threat of imminent fiery death, I did pick up on what it's like to have a culture built around the possibility that at any given moment, stuff may blow up, literally. I ended up with including a lot of cultural attitude in the story that I had picked up while I was there. I remember speaking with a woman who had lived there most of her life, knowing that Hawaii is built on a powder keg that could blow any second. She said, up until that point, I will have had a wonderful life, and it'll be quick. And what a way to go. In the first book of the Dream Blood duology, The Killing Moon, she says research helped immensely. I was trying to evoke ancient Egypt, so I did have to pay attention to the cadence of their words and their language. In fact, I had some help from an Egyptologist to make sure I wasn't making up any bad words in Egyptian, like beloved or of cheese or something like that. Jemison says she doesn't always hear the words in her imagination when she writes. I don't often read my work out loud until well after the book is written, during talks and readings and such. I find some of the words I use are really difficult to pronounce. And in reviewing her audiobooks, she's often surprised by the narrator's ability to render the novel's tone in a way that's different from what she expected. I actually like listening to audiobooks of my work because it's surprising to hear how people are interpreting what's in my head. I love listening to another artist's interpretation. It's like me having a chance to read a book by a different author. Laughing, she adds, sometimes I'm like, you mean I wrote this? I'm pretty good. Randy O'Brien conducted that interview talking with N.K. Jemison, and here is a review of The Obelisk Gate, Broken Earth Book 2 by N.K. Jemison and Earphones winner read by Robin Miles. The second title of the Broken Earth trilogy continues seamlessly from the fifth season, and listeners will want to start with that book if they haven't listened to it. Robin Miles continues as narrator, and the large cast of characters allows her to draw on her vast store of accents. Her narration is intimate and engaged, and she enriches the complicated relationships. She portrays the 10-year-old girl from whose point of view much of the story is told as intelligent and mature. Similarly, her depictions of older members of the community make clear their relative ages without exaggeration. Miles draws out the emotions, sometimes volatile, sometimes seething beneath the surface, as the complexities of this post-apocalyptic world unfold. Joyce E. McCarthy wrote that review of The Obelisk Gate, Broken Earth, Book 2 by N.K. Jemison. It's an Earphones winner read by Robin Miles, and it's available from Hachette Audio for 13.25 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. All right, we're back to our reviews, and we have Pride and Prejudice from Jane Austen, read by Rosamund Pike. In this well-produced audio version of Austen's classic, narrator Rosamund Pike elegantly delivers the engaging prose, barbed wit, and social subtleties. She portrays a Bennet family with all their controlled chaos intact. Elizabeth is appropriately snarky. Darcy is prideful and prejudiced. Long-suffering Mr. Bennet is stoic, and Mrs. B. is amusingly crass as she attempts to find husbands for their five daughters. Pike's presentation of the sophisticated subtexts adds sparkle and color to the conversations, whether coarse or refined. As the satire turns romantic, Pike reveals Elizabeth and Darcy as they grow and change in their spoken and unspoken feelings for each other. Pike's intelligent, nuanced performance of this classic will endear the Bennets to faithful Austen fans and those new to the story. That review by yours truly, Sandy Hinchel, is of Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, read by Rosamund Pike. It's available from Audible, Inc. for 11.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Light Falls, Space, Time, and an Obsession of Einstein. It's written by Brian Green and Paul Rudd. It's read by Brian Green and a full cast. Green blends the story of Einstein's lifelong quest to explain the workings of the universe with a primer on the fundamentals and importance of Einstein's work. This audio production straddles the line between nonfiction and docudrama as the producers imbue more life into the production than the book itself holds. With sound effects, a musical score, and a host of voice talent portraying different people in Einstein's life, the production strives to entertain and engage listeners while also educating them on the deeper technical questions Einstein grappled with. Green successfully breaks down these complex ideas while simultaneously providing a reasonable outline of Einstein's life. Listeners will find themselves closer to both Einstein and his work by the production's end. Lance Eaton wrote that review of Light Falls, Space, Time, and an Obsession of Einstein by Brian Greene. It's read by Brian Greene and a full cast, available from Audible, Inc. for 2.5 hours unabridged. Finally today we have You Shouldn't Detour Off Route 66, The Adventures of Harry Nile. It's written by Sable Jack and it's read by a full cast. A down-on-his-luck detective ends up taking more than a few detours off the fabled Route 66 when he accepts a side job from a mysterious client to drive a young cabaret singer from Los Angeles to Albuquerque. Of course, nobody, specifically the girl, is who they say they are, reflecting the noir style, pace, and sound effects of old-time radio. Jim French production reprises one of their most popular characters, Harry Nile, played by veteran voice talent actor Larry Albert. Replete with voices of a mob boss, a squeaky clean kid, and a gum-chewing waitress, this five-episode miniseries whips right along, accompanied by some original music on a muted trumpet. This is easygoing family entertainment. That review by Brian Price is of You Shouldn't Detour Off Route 66, The Adventures of Harry Nile, read by Sable Jack. It's from Jim French Productions for 2 hours as an audio program. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we'll have a look into the Publisher's Corner. This time, Beacon Press Audio is in the spotlight. Our reviews next time will deal with business and personal growth, including a review of Earphones winner On Living, written and read by Kerry Egan. Then we'll hear Thomas Walken's Learning by Ear. His reviews will also deal with personal growth. And after that, I'll have reviews in historical fiction, including a review of Earphones winner The Last Days of Night by Graham Moore, read by Jonathan McLean. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.